Thank the Lord this morning for His love and His blessing to us. We're thankful for the privilege to come back and worship the Lord together this morning. So we ask an interest in your prayers. We look into the Word of God. Could we turn, Brother Robert, and let's sing, if you will turn to song number 53, and let's sing the verse 1, please.
Let the gates of praise be open, sounding forth the joy within. Shout and sing, the Lord has spoken, for He saves and keeps from sin. Praise Him in the sanctuary, praise Him in our song and prayer.
Very thankful this morning for the privilege that we have to give God praise. Like to begin over in Psalms 100, said, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." Now that sounds like a universal invitation, doesn't it? Serve the Lord with gladness. You know, the Lord does not want us to serve Him with a dour attitude or a dour spirit, but the psalm says, serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord wants us to enjoy our salvation this morning. He said, come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. Even with the troubles that life brings, remember that the Lord, He is God, and it is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And then He gives us some instruction. He said, enter into His gates with what? With thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Why? For the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. I would this morning that the Lord would help us as some of His people, that we would still have the gates of praise be open. Do you know that the enemy has been working very hard for the last... he's been working a long time. But he has been working, I think, extra hard in this area for the last 30 years to try to cause the gates of praise to start closing. And I believe that it is, again, it's more than opinion. It is more than our cultural practices. It is more than our personality types this morning. There is much said in the Scripture about giving God praise. And the enemy would like among his people for those gates to be shut. And I would like, by the Spirit of the Lord this morning, to challenge us and encourage us to let the gates of praise be open. Because we have a lot of reason to give God praise. Even when we are tired and we are weary, and we have been in a battle, there is much value in giving God praise. Because God is God. He is still the King of kings and Lord of lords. And even in the deepest distresses, when we begin to open up our hearts with a spirit of praise to God, you know that that can begin to elevate us. It can begin to elevate us out of even the sorrows of life. We're not speaking about mind over matter this morning, but we are talking about something that the Scripture commands us to do. There are over 250 places in the Scripture that instruct us to give God praise. So as the songwriter said, let the gates of praise be open. May the Lord bless this morning. Open as opposed to shut. And so would it be fair this morning for us to examine our own life and what are the gates like in your life? Are the gates of praise open wide? Or maybe they're partially open. You know when the gate, when you go to a gate and it's partially open, and that means it's partially shut? You're kind of wondering, are we supposed to go through here or not? We're not quite sure if we're supposed to go in or wait for the owner to come. We're not quite sure what to do. The Lord wants the gates of praise among His people to be wide open. That people that come looking, we're looking for a people that really have truth. We're looking for a people that have what the Bible says. This is one of the identifying marks of God's people, that the gates of praise are wide open. There is a passage of Scripture over in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 18. It was a prophecy of the gospel age. And it said, violence shall no more be heard in the land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation and the gates praise. This was a glorious description, if you study it out, of the gospel age when the kingdom of God, where there is righteousness, peace, and joy in what? In the Holy Ghost. It was talking about the gospel dispensation. The gospel of Jesus Christ in its purity has never brought forth strife and warfare. There are many times in history that people have fought under a banner of so-called Christianity. But under the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, we have beaten our swords into plowshares. We don't learn war anymore. There's no more strife. There's no more warring and battling for position and dominance between races and cultures and peoples of different nationalities. In God's kingdom, we are one, and Jesus Christ is Lord. And He said, there's no more destruction, there's no more violence. And He said, thou shalt call thy walls salvation. Another scripture said, salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. We have a strong city this morning. It is not a city where man laid the foundation. It is not a city that we had a minister's meeting and voted on truth. The truth of God's word has been established through Jesus Christ and His apostles, and that is a strong city. And I want to dwell within those walls this morning. The walls are called salvation, and the gates praise. When we pass through the gates of praise, we are elevated above the things of this life. We are in part fulfilling the reason why God created us to begin with. He wanted someone out of a free will, out of a heart of love and devotion, to honor Him and glorify Him and praise Him. And that is part of our function as a people this morning. And this function far supersedes what goes on at the grounds here at Monarch Springs. Because if you don't praise God in your personal life, it really becomes a show if you do it when you come to camp meeting. But if you have opened up the gates of praise in your personal life, in your personal devotion, like the scripture says, when we come together, it ought to be a glorious thing where we're coming together and there is a spirit of praise and honor and glory to God. Sometimes it's the last thing you might feel like doing. But do you know that when we offer the sacrifice of praise, we are entering those gates, and where those gates lead us? Those gates lead us into the presence of God. That's where those gates open up to. And if we allow those gates to be shut, do you know that it is going to hinder our connection with God Himself? There are so many types of praise. You know that if your praise might be mixed with tears. Your praise might be quiet sometimes. Sometimes it might be loud. But let the gates of praise Let them be opened up. Because we are not, it's not that we're exalting ourselves. It's not that we're exalting who we are. It's not that we are exalting here as a people how many years that we have stood for the truth. It is about lifting up Christ for who and what he is and what he is still doing in our lives individually and collectively. It is giving him adoration and it's lifting him up. So how are we doing this morning? How are you doing in your home congregations? Are the gates of praise open in your home congregation? Do you know if they're not? There again, there is more said about praise than many other truths that we hold vital among us as a people. There are things that there's one or two scriptures that teach it, and there are some people, they really pound hard on it. And well, they should. If it's truth, it's truth. But praise is something that is talked about over and over in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And the Lord does not want them to be shut. It is our duty this morning to praise the Lord. But it is not only our duty, it is our privilege. It is a privilege to give God praise this morning. It is, the Lord does not want us to be compelled by force. This is about heart worship to God. There is a passage of Scripture, and I will just reference it. In the 19th chapter of Revelation, we see the 24 elders that is representative of God's people, the church of God throughout the ages. And they are gathered around the throne of God. And this is what they're saying. Amen. Alleluia. Ye servants and ye that fear him, both small and great. And he said, I heard a voice, as it were, a great multitude, as the voice of many waters. And they were saying, Alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Does the Lord still reign this morning? If the Lord Jesus is reigning in your life, you have cause and you have reason to give God praise. They went on, it went on to say, let us be glad and rejoice. Now some may say, well, Brother Michael, you started over with David, and David did some things that we shouldn't follow his example, and he did. But I'll tell you, David had a heart of thanksgiving and a spirit of praise. Now we're going to the end of the book, the end of the Bible, Revelation. And the command was this, let us be glad and let us rejoice. And give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Do you know that as we are waiting for the Lord to come back, we are his bride. And if you see the bride in tears of sorrow, and you see the bride with a spirit of trepidation, I would question if they should even be getting married. Or are you sure you want to go through with this? I mean, if you're in sorrow and what am I doing here? And because the groom's coming, I'd say you might want to hold off. It would, you want to be sure. But folks, if we are sure this morning, we can look forward with anticipation to the coming of Jesus Christ. We as a people, if we are serving Lord, we need not fear the coming of the bridegroom. And so then he said, rejoice. And be glad because the Lord's coming back. Lord wants that to be among us. There are so many passages of Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. It didn't stop there. That you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Paul told the church at Rome, in Rome, he said, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord all ye Gentiles and laud him all ye people. New Testament teaching, give God praise and thanks. That command is repeated so many times. God does not only invite us, folks. He commands it. Praise is part of our obedience to the Lord. Is that right? It's part of our obedience. Now, we can talk about the attitude we should have, the way that we should dress ourselves, things, places that we shouldn't go and things that we should do, the way that we should give, the way, all of those things are so important. But this is another one. And I fear that the enemy has been too successful among us as a people. Not out of any desire to rebel against God. Not out of any desire to not be obedient. But he would like to create an environment spiritually because of the darkness of this world that he puts a muffler on the praise and the worship to God. And may I say that while the world has exalted what is termed as praise and worship, right? Praise and worship. So some people say we don't want to be associated with that. Well, I don't either. There's a lot of things they do I don't want to be associated with. But if the Bible teaches something, who has more of a right to be obedient and give God praise than God's people? So we say, well, we want to be careful because we don't want people to think we're this, or we don't want them to think we're like that. But what do we want people to think we are? God's children, a people of praise. When people come in, have y'all, and this is, we're home folks here this morning, aren't we? Have you ever gone in somewhere, a congregation, you kind of, this is confession, I guess. I've been in more than one service before that we had the song service and I got down and I was like, Lord, what's wrong? Because it was just as though there was a pall over the worship service. There was a spirit. There was a spirit of heaviness. But the scripture says that he would take the spirit of heaviness and he would give us joy for mourning, and he would give us praise. He would give us beauty for ashes. He would transform that. And it is true that sometimes we come collectively, and if you're in a real battle, maybe you won't be on the forefront of praise, but your brother and sister will be there encouraging you and strengthening you, still giving God praise. And then next time we come together, maybe I'm the one that's able to share more of that praise, and it might be an encouragement to you. But as a people, praise to the Lord ought to be the norm and not the exception among us. It's not something that just belongs at a national camp meeting. This belongs in our local congregations. But the enemy wants to hinder that. And the Spirit of God wants to begin to foster among us as a people an environment of praise and thanksgiving. Now, do you know that this type of preaching, this truth, makes some people uncomfortable? Why would that be? Because it's just like other truths. Do you know when certain truths get brought out, there's certain sectors and segments of people get real quiet. And then there's other buttons that some people have. You know, if you touch on that subject, you can get an amen out of them. You know what I'm talking about? The Lord wants us to have an environment of praise that is led and fostered not by the flesh, but by the Holy Spirit. And there is a difference. It's more than coming together and us all standing up and putting our hands in the air and saying hallelujah 11 times and saying we've had a good praise service. True praise to God is something that flows out of a holy heart because of holy living, that we are lifting up God for what we have done, and we're not going to allow the enemy to steal from us the command and the privilege that we have to exalt the Lord from the heart through the mouth. Praise is a conscious admiration and thanks for who God is and what he is. Praise is more than just a feeling. Praise is a conscious activity to lift up God and to exalt him. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. Why? This is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. Amen? And then the scripture goes on. He said, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Have you ever had some praise and you allowed the enemy to quench it? I'll confess, I have. Because it's pretty quiet around this place. I'm kind of the oddball around here. And you just feel this the enemy wanted to blanket that Spirit within. But the scripture says, quench not the Spirit this morning. Don't quench it, but allow the enemy. You know, there is a history. We have a long history. Thank you. We have a long history of and examples of praise. Remember over in Luke 4:18 when Jesus healed the blind man. And it said he immediately received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And the people, when they saw it, they gave praise to God. Because we have seen what God has done. We have seen where God has worked. When Peter and John healed the man, the lame man at the gate called Beautiful, he was lifted up. Do y'all remember what he did? He said, well, I'm glad I'm healed. It's wonderful. You remember what he did? He went leaping and shouting. He was praising God and glorifying God. And the people knew, they looked on and they were astounded and they wanted to know what happened. What's going on here? Do you know it ought to be that when people come among us as a people, that they don't observe the fleshly displays that the world offers, but they can feel and experience the presence of the Holy Spirit among us, where people are not afraid to give God praise. Over in Luke chapter 19, when Jesus made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, he came in riding on the colt, and the multitude, they put down their garments on the ground. They had their palm leaves. You remember, they were not silent that day. They were not silent. The disciples, it said in verse 37 of Luke 19, it said, when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples. Now, this was more than just one or two. It said the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice. Now that right there makes some people uncomfortable too, doesn't it? But that's what the disciples did. And it made someone uncomfortable here this day. They were saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And this is what Jesus said. I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. It was an analogy Jesus was making. He was making a point. And I wonder, do you think it would be of any help to us as a reminder? I just thought, food for thought. If we brought in a big old stone, it just said right up here. Actually, maybe we ought to start in our local congregation. Just bring in a big old stone as a reminder of what Jesus said. If my disciples will not praise me, then the stones will cry out. I will acknowledge there have been some times I would have liked to just brought a big old stone in the service and set it down. You know that every service, there ought to be praise associated with it. But that, don't confuse that with high octane emotion. Don't confuse that with just the fleshly display, because there are times of service of very quiet, sober, sincere devotion to the Lord. That is an aspect of praise, is an aspect of glorifying God. So don't confuse that issue this morning. There is power in praise this morning. Have you experienced it in your life? When your heart was down and you were discouraged, and that song we sang the first verse of, when the heart is heavy, what are we supposed to do? Praise. When the clouds above us hover, praise. When the heart is full of gladness, praise him. Do you realize that these brethren, they had hold of something? They had hold of something. About the first 100 songs in our songbook, the first 30 are about the church, and then from about page 30 to page 100, it is full, and we sang about three of them this morning. Songs of praise. The Lord wants those gates of praise to still be open today. Children of Israel marched around Jericho. You remember that story? And on the seventh day, on the seventh march that day, what did they do? They shouted. And when they shouted, what happened? The walls came down. Do you know there might be some walls came down if there'd be a great shout? But let us not forget. Because we can jump, some people can jump on the shout. But before they got to the place of the shout, there was 6 days of silence. There better be some communion with God, or else your shout is vain. Your shout doesn't mean anything if there hasn't been that daily contact and communion with God. We lift up Christ through our praise. And I believe there's another song that says, "The chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they drop powerless behind you when you praise him." I found it true. I found it works. And that's why praise is more than emotion. Because I don't feel like praising. I don't feel... But wait, can I still lift up God? Can I still glorify him? Can I still extol him? At midnight, Paul and Silas were in prison. They were in jail in stocks. And they began to pray, and they did something else. They sang praises. And you remember what the consequence of that was? Number one, someone heard them. There were people looking on and think, "You all are crazy. I mean, you're in prison. You're bound up. Look at the world around us this morning. Look at the world around us. It's dark. There's so many problems. We have so many burdens. I know just the few of us that are here this morning. So many burdens. But you know, there's still a place to give God praise that the world can look on and say, "You all are different because you're putting your trust somewhere else." We're putting our trust in God. And when they began to sing and pray, the prisoners heard them. And then the stocks fell off. And the prison doors were opened up. Isn't that wonderful? You know, I believe there are still some walls that the Lord wants to bring down this morning. I still believe that there are some prison gates. There are some prison stocks that the Lord would like to release people. But we have to go beyond ourselves with a spirit of praise to the Lord. Jehoshaphat is another very wonderful example. When Jehoshaphat was so distraught because of the problems that they were facing, and they began to look to the Lord. And in 2 Chronicles in the 20th chapter, the 21st verse, it said, "When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and praise, it said the Lord set ambushments against their enemies, and they were smitten. You know what? Where the victory was found? It was found in a spirit of praise and thanksgiving to God. Lord, our trust is not in what we can do for ourselves. It's not in who we are, but Lord, we lift you up. And when we begin to exalt the Lord in a greater capacity through praise and thanksgiving, we give God the liberty and the freedom to work in a greater measure among us individually and as a people. They appointed singers. You know, there is still a need today for the singers to gather. I know the ministers that are here this morning can attest to it. You know, here, the singers went before the army. I was in a meeting recently. There's no special song the first night. Second night, no special song. It was just kind of like you get up from prayer and people are just kind of... Do you know what I'm talking about? Again, well, this is a home this preacher for home folks now. And I think it was about the third night. And it felt like to get up to preach, you were already pressing against. You are pressing against the enemy. About the third night, someone got up and the Lord had given them a song. And do you know, it was so easy to preach that night. It was like the anointed singing. It's more than saying, well, I'll get up and sing. Folks, if you can't preach, don't preach. If you can't teach, don't teach. If you can't sing, keep it in the congregation. You understand what I'm saying? There is a place. There is a place that God has called us to operate, qualified, that it can be a blessing to people. In other words, be moved by the Holy Spirit and be led by that. If it's not effective, we need to go back to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want me to do here? But someone got up and sang, and do you know that anointed singing, even in our services, it really opens up the way for the anointing of the preached word? It really makes a difference for the ministry when there are others that have been seeking God and being led by His Spirit, not just in because there's a duty, but seeking the Lord to be led, not by the flesh, not just by desire, but by His Spirit. And you know, it opens up the way. The Lord wants to bless our singing. He wants to bless our services with the anointing of His presence. But it's going to take all of us, whether it's in special singing or collective singing, that we have a heart open to praise and give God thanks. We have a wonderful heritage of praise. Now, we talked about some of the scriptural examples, but do you know those that have gone before? And again, you can look in the book and know we have a heritage of praise. It was genuine. It was heartfelt. But I don't remember those that wrote. I didn't know them. They were before my time. But you know what I do remember? I remember coming on these grounds. And saints, this is not an indictment this morning. But I want to encourage us. I remember coming on these grounds and the gates of praise were more open than they are today. Now, isn't the Word of God for not only for encouragement, but for admonition and correction? And I say, Lord, what do you want of us? He wants us to seek Him, that we would have and foster among us as a people an environment of thanksgiving and praise to God. I remember as a child on these grounds, and you could hear across the camp more people giving God praise. And it seems like, and I know there are some times that it's more than that, but do you know, more and more there is an environment that is fostering no praise or little praise. And it's almost more of an oddity when you hear someone over here say, praise the Lord. And you might hear one back there and one over here. It's like three people said, praise the Lord. It's not, don't misunderstand, it's not about the numbers. But I wonder, Lord, what do you want of us as a people? Why is it that there's this blanket that's coming on more and more individuals? I'm going to go a step further. More and more congregations. Had someone fairly new among the saints just tell me recently. They said, you know, and they had been to a few different congregations. They said, you know what? I feel free to praise the Lord here. But I go to service here. And it's like, I was in service one time and it wasn't among us. I was out. I was visiting some folks. And I asked them, I told them, I said, I didn't know if it was all right to say praise the Lord here or not. And I really didn't know. I did. It was an honest question I had because no one was giving God thanks. And when the preacher was preaching, no one was saying amen. So I was kind of wondering, is it acceptable? I mean, is this okay? But then I have to go back and say, what does the Word teach us? What does the Bible teach us? And if the gates begin to be shut, why? And how did that happen? I know we know why this morning the children of Israel stopped praising. Right. Do you remember in the book of Psalms when they said, we sat down by the rivers of Babylon and we wept and we hung our harps up on the tree and they said, sing us a song. And they said, how can we sing a song because we're in a strange land? Folks, I'm not in a strange land this morning. The Lord has set us free from sin. He has delivered us. He's brought us into a path of holiness. And that means that if you've hung your harp up on a tree, the Lord is inviting us, take your harp down. If you're saved from sin, don't leave your harp hanging on the tree. He's speaking symbolically here now. But take it down and start praising me. Rejoice evermore. And then we read over in Isaiah 35, he said, a highway shall be there, and it will be a way of what? A way of holiness. It went on to say, the ransom will return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. You know, that's when they took their harps down, is when they were on the way back home. It was on a highway of holiness. Saints, we have much cause and much reason to give God praise this morning. There is reason. Now, if there were many devils being cast out of people this morning, do you think there might be praise? There were those that came in, and I've been in services and been places where there were people devil-possessed, and the power of God came down, and all the devils were cast out. And you know, it left me in awe of the power of God. It left me in awe to see the spirits of evil depart and see people going off of the platform after prayer with their hands up in the air. There were people that were drug up, unconscious. There were children that were possessed, that were foaming and shaking, and the Lord delivered every one of them. And I said, oh Lord, what a miraculous thing we have seen this day because of the presence of God. And so the disciples came to Jesus rejoicing because even the devils are subject unto us. You remember what Jesus said? Rejoice not in this, but rejoice why? Because your names are written in heaven. So that means it's not dependent upon the display and say, well, where is the power of God like it used to be? If your names are written in heaven, you have experienced the divine power of God. There is no power on earth that could have delivered me and set me free from sin. There is no power that could have kept me in times of temptation. But there is a power in God that enabled me to say no to Michael, no to the world, and yes to Jesus. I have reason. I have reason this morning to lift my hand and say, thank you, God. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That was Jesus that said that, wasn't it? Thank the Lord. You know, when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord was brought back from the Philistines and it was brought into the camp of the Israelites, you remember what they did? They shouted. They began to give God praise, and it brought a fear on the Philistine. But do you know, if the Ark is not in the camp, there's not a lot to give God. Well, God's still worthy of praise. Don't misunderstand me. But if the Ark is not in the camp, we can understand the reason for a pall and a blanket. But I have found when the Ark is in the camp. Now, the Ark contained the commandments, the truth. It contained manna. It contained the food and the grace of God to nourish His people. It contained the rod of Aaron, whereby the Lord was working miracles and transforming things. When the Ark is in the camp, it brings and should bring about a spirit of praise and thanksgiving, because I am in the presence of God. And all we can do is stand in awe. We invite the presence of the Lord in our midst. But Lord, give us a spirit of praise and thanksgiving to foster an atmosphere. And again, it's not from false worship. It is, again, just because nominal churches put so much emphasis on praise and worship, What does that have to do with us? What does that have to do with what the Bible teaches us? The Lord's looking for genuine praise, genuine worship environment. Hebrews 13, verse 15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer what? The sacrifice of praise. Sacrifice is something that does not always come easily. See, because we're all different. And some people need to tone it down a little bit. Some people need to open up a little bit. See, the point is, you sacrifice to God. You be moved by the Spirit of God. Coerce praise. Have y'all ever been in a place where praise was being coerced? Let me show you what that, I'm not going to do it, but let me demonstrate what that's like. So we came up here, we want the gates of praise be open, so we'll look around. And Sister Jeannie, you don't need to do this now. But Sister Jeannie and Brother Danny and different ones over here, Brother Ludwig and Brother DeMar, you stand up now, praise the Lord. Put your hand in there, we need to praise. Yeah. And it's like, that's coercion. That's not heart worship, see? That becomes performance-based because you're doing something because I'm putting you on the spot. And when I've been in times like that, there was something in me that's like, Lord, I can't do this. So that's not what God wants among us. Because that's performance-based praise. But true worship and true praise is when we individually, from that which flows from the heart in our spirit, comes out with a sacrifice. See, it's a sacrifice and it's the fruit of our lips. Some say, well, it's in my heart. Well, thank God, that's where it starts. But there are a lot of people that say, well, my heart is holy, so don't worry about anything else that I do and how I look and where I go, because it's all in the heart. But what does the scripture says? If the heart is pure, the fruit that comes forth from it are going to be pure too, right? So if we have a heart of praise, it follows the same way. If we have a heart of praise, there is a sacrifice that should be coming out of our mouth that is just a reflection of what's in our hearts. Amen. Worshiping in the Spirit. Do you know that's part of our duty and responsibility? To worship with love and submission to the Lord. Freedom in the Spirit. Where the Spirit is, there is what? There's liberty. Do you know that where there is liberty does not mean there is a free-for-all? People say, well, we don't believe in man rule. We can just do whatever we want. No, I don't believe in man rule, but I also don't believe we can do whatever we want. Because where the Spirit is, there is order. Where the Spirit is, there is decorum. I was in a place one time where some that have left departed from us about 35 years ago. I was in a service, and there were some that started rejoicing and praising, and pretty soon there were some brothers and sisters hugging on each other, and it was out of order. They were getting into an emotional spirit that they were not in control of themselves. The scripture says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. In other words, don't be intoxicated, but be filled with the Spirit. Where the Spirit is, there is liberty to praise, but it will still be, there will be decorum. It will be orderly. It will not be chaos. And those that come and see and observe, they will also experience the anointing of the Holy Spirit in that place. So we wanted to just give that caution this morning that where there is liberty does not mean a lack of control. It means we are being led by the Spirit. Just as in our preaching here, locally in camp meetings, special singing, praying, it needs to be led by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean anybody can get up. Doesn't mean we can all do whatever we want to, but it means, Lord, we want to follow your leadership. And we want to be led by the Spirit in our praise. There are differences of culture around the world. Differences of culture. Differences of personality. And do you know we all need to give each other some room for that? People express themselves differently. And it takes spiritual maturity to understand that. But there's going to be some minor differences. But through it all, it's led by the Spirit. And there are some that say, well, it's just our culture not to open our mouth and praise. Well, it's also our makeup to sin.
Right?
It's also our nature to do a lot of things the Bible says not to do. But it was the power of God that transformed our life that enabled us to go beyond ourselves and do the things that were natural to us. So the anointing of the Holy Ghost in our midst will do the same thing. That maybe I'm not someone that's as vocal as this brother, and maybe I'm not quite, I don't do it like they do. You're not supposed to do it like they do. But the Lord wants your gates to be opened. And when your gates are opened, it will not be an interference with the anointing and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So if there's a time you see that it's conflicting, and you see that there's a place that it's causing a disruption, it's a good place to come back and say, Lord, have I erred here somewhere? Do we need to make some adjustments, Lord, because we want to please you? Amen? Amen? Workers together in the Lord and praise together in the Lord. Something that flows from the heart. So when should we praise the Lord? We've talked about the songs. You all know. When you're sad, when your heart's heavy, when things are going well, it is always valuable to give God praise and to because He is so worthy this morning. The scripture says so much about in the New Testament. There's multiple verses talking about singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Do you know part of our praise is in our songs? That's what we did this morning. That's what we did this morning. And if we just take and we'll be done here shortly. There are also, when the gates of praise are opened, and there's sacrifice that comes from our mouth to the Lord, there are also areas that kind of go hand in hand with it. How long has it been since you've said amen? You know what amen means? Amen is, it's true. It's a declaration or it's an affirmation of something. Let it be so. And I forget who it was that said it. They said when the minister's preaching and someone says amen, it's like saying sick him to a dog. Now, you can take that however you want it. But there's something about, have you ever been in a service and the preacher was preaching? Again, we're home folks, right? God's people. Minister was preaching and it was dead silent. And then you kind of start looking around at people. How are they receiving this? Everybody's just sitting there. It's just like non-committal. And you think, okay. Because the young people do it all the time. Folks, take note. You know, then many times the children do it. It's like, hey, Dad, what was going on with that one tonight? Do you know that they're watching? And so, if it's truth, and if it's led by the Spirit, even maybe it's getting a little close. Do you know there is value amen. In openly saying amen to the Word of God? Because it lets others know that are coming in the camp that it's not just the person behind the pulpit. This is what these people believe. This is the Word of God. That's not just opinion. That's truth. And when I can hear and someone else hears an amen, it's like there's someone that's listening and awake and is giving affirmation to what is being preached. And that can be a blessing to others among us. So I just want to encourage us and challenge us. Because if our children grow up, and we say, why is there? Because again, are the gates of praise as wide open as they used to be? I mean, am I off here? I believe I speak in the Spirit this morning. Amen. If we begin to close the gates, that will be all our children know.
That's true.
They won't know any different. Right. And then when someone says amen, it's kind of like, you know, what are they doing? That's kind of strange. But that ought not to be strange. It not ought to be strange. The same thing with putting our hand in the air. That's a declaration. Lord, thank you. That's my heart's desire. There are some songs we've sung before. I put my hand in the air, and I, in a sense, that in the flesh, the devil's saying, "Why are you putting your hand up?" It's like, because, Lord, I'm not there, and I want to get there. You, have you been there? It's not saying, "Oh, I'm all measured up on every line and have no weaknesses." It's, "Lord, sometimes it's, Lord, you did that for me." And then other times it's, "Lord, that's my desire. That's my prayer. I'm not there, but Lord, that's what I want." The Lord wants that environment to be among us, that our children, as they observe truth in our lives, this is just one other small aspect of it, that they can experience that and know this is the way that God wants it among His people. When the heart is full of gladness. I'd like to close with Psalms 147, verse 1. He said, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely." I thank the Lord for the privilege that we have this morning as His people to praise the Lord. And I just would encourage us again, it's not coerced or forced, so it's not about someone getting in, "Let's have a pep rally." That's not what this is about this morning. But it's about us seeking the Lord to say, "Lord, can I do better?" Or when I feel the Spirit welling up and I start quenching it, that's when the Lord's saying, "Let the gates of praise be open." Because praise, as it is ordered by the Spirit, it is comely. Amen.